whether it would be some personal event like a marriage falling apart or loss of a job, health issues, all of those things that affect us. The Bible tells us that we're in a race. And a race is always difficult. A race will test every fiber of your being. In Hebrews 12 and verse 1, it says, we have around us many people, talking about those that we see there in Scripture, whose lives tell us what faith means. So let us run the race that is before us and never give up. It's an amazing thing that I see a lot is I see people at the point of desperation. Our church has been through for the past 15 years as we moved into this building. We've, like all churches, when you are out there on the front line and you're winning people to Christ, we have led our association every year in baptisms. We have seen over 100 people average every year through the 13 years of Judgment House that we did, over 100 professions of faith every year, helping to encourage churches all the way from Illinois to Kentucky to Mississippi and to Arkansas, bringing their groups here to see that drama and people's lives being changed. And through all of that, through the years of struggle with that, through the years of all the other ministries that we had and the things that have gone on, it's been at times a roller coaster ride. Everything goes great, then boom, the bottom falls out, and things are going well. I don't know of any church that's doing anything for the Lord that is not facing some type of difficulty from the enemy. He will do everything that he can to find a crack in the door somewhere in a person's life or in a ministry or something, and he'll use that to discourage people and to try to stop them from doing the work of God. I want you to know something today. We will never quit. We'll work till Jesus comes, and then we'll be carried home. But until he does come, you and I are at a battle. What are some of the things we need to do to persist in our faith? We need to remove distractions from our lives. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says that we are to run that race that is before us and never give up. We should remove from our lives anything that would get in the way and the sin that so easily holds us back. Remove anything that would get in the way. All of us have a different life to live and a different race to run. And the problem is other people many times want to try to run your race, and they can't do that. You can only run your race. Others will try to interfere with your race. Your parents will put expectations upon you. Your peers, your friends, well-meaning people will put pressures and things upon you to try to get you to run the race that they want you to run. But you can only run the race that God has given you. Don't give up. You can only live the life that God has meant for you to live. And you won't finish that race unless you deal with some of the issues. Learning to persist in your faith. Paul says the key to finishing a good race is to simplify your life. Remove the distractions. Now, it doesn't mean that those distractions are bad. They could be good things. But many times the good things are taking place of the very best thing. What could distract you? Oh, lots of things. One thing, trying to be like other people will distract you. Another thing, you know, I remember when I was first in early years of ministry, you know, I thought, man, if I could just preach like Adrian Rogers. God, he was my hero, still my hero. I loved that man, the way he could preach and could open God's word and show us what God's word says. I loved Adrian Rogers and his preaching and his teaching. I've seen him in airports. I've seen him at the convention. I've seen him at other places, and was always the same. Everywhere I saw him, he'd stick out his hand and say, hey, Ken, how you doing? I had a hard time just remembering his name, but he remembered mine. And I thought that, you know, as a young preacher, I needed to be just like him. I couldn't figure out, because I was just a country boy, I couldn't figure out how he could recite so much scripture. I mean, I know he had it in his heart. He had memorized hundreds of verses. But man, when he would be preaching, he'd just be reciting one verse after another, one verse after another, one verse after another. And I happened to attend Bellevue one time, and I walked down front and was standing there after the service, and I noticed there was a TV sitting right on the front row. And I wondered, now why do they have a TV sitting there on the front row? And it dawned on me, that's a monitor. And so it wasn't, now he had a lot of scripture memorized, but he also had a monitor to follow as well. I thought I needed to be like him, so I tried to force myself to memorize about 30 verses of scripture a week. I tried to memorize every passage that I preached on, which was good for me. But I was trying to be someone and trying to preach like someone. I tried to get that deep voice like Adrian had, but that was phony when it came to me. I had to just be who I was. It took me a few years to realize that. Maybe some of you are struggling like that, trying to be someone else, other people. Another thing is making wealth the primary goal of your life. Another is habits that can distract you. Oh, even good habits can distract you. The wrong kind of friends can distract you. My old dad used to say, if you run with the dogs, you're going to get fleas. You may not get them the first time, but if you hang around the dogs, you're going to get fleas. The scripture is very clear. My dad didn't know a lot of scripture, but the scripture tells us that bad company corrupts good morals. So the people that you hang around, having the wrong types of friends. The biggest distraction a lot of times is your past, the things that you've been through. You see, there's three types of forgiveness. There's God's forgiveness, there's the forgiveness of others, and then there's forgiving ourselves. Most of the time we can wrestle with and come to the conclusion about God's forgiveness, and we'll accept that. Most of the time we can reach the point where we're really willing to forgive others and willing to receive the forgiveness of others. But one of the most difficult things that anyone ever faces is learning to forgive yourself for the mistakes and for the sinful behavior or things that you've done. I've had people through the years, in my 40 years now as a pastor, say to me these very words: I can't get beyond what's happened and what I did. And I would always say to them, oh, yes, you can. You can't give up. You have to keep moving forward. Our church needs to keep moving forward. We can look back at the past. We've seen some of that today with the video. And thanks, by the way, to Jason and Alex, who put a lot of that together, and for Miss Adrian, you've got a great staff of people here that work very diligently. But we've seen some of the things that have happened, but we can't rest on that. We've got to continually look forward. What more can we do to reach more people for Christ? As long as there's one person in this county, as long as there's one person in this state, as long as there's one person in this country and one person around the world that doesn't know Christ, we need to be reaching them. That's right. And you and I need to be making disciples everywhere that we go, pouring our lives into people and realizing that, yes, it's hard. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's sometimes just overwhelming with all the things that we have to face. But Jesus never let us down, and we should not let him down. Jesus never fails. You and I may fail, but he never fails. We need to keep looking to the finish. Paul said it this way in Philippians 3, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I strain to reach the end of the race. Forgetting the past. You know, that's hard for people to do. Forget the past. Now, in that idea of forgetting the past, he's not saying you're going to wipe it out and never think about it again. That's not what he's saying. The emphasis there is, yep, boy, did you blow it back there. Boy, was that a horrible time. Somebody mistreated me or hurt me. It was a horrible time, but I am not going to let it determine where I'm headed today. And there's the difference. That's what he's saying. So, Remove the distractions. Number two, remember the reward. You know, when you run a race, there's always the end of the race. And just sometimes finishing the race is enough. You cannot run the race well without an eye on the finish line. You have to constantly think about, I've got to finish. I've got to finish. I've got to finish. And I don't know about you, but I want my life to count for something. I don't want to get to heaven and have to go to some remedial class as how to praise the Lord. I don't want to have to get to heaven and then look back and look at my life and say, boy, if I'd have just committed more to this area of ministry, boy, if I'd have just memorized more scripture, if I'd have just shared the faith with others, I don't want to get to the end of my life and say I regret that I left something out. I want to finish the race well. I don't want to just finish and fall across the line. I want to finish in full speed running the race that God has called us to run. And I know that's what you want. But you've got to stick with it. You can't give up. You can't let the burdens of this life and the trouble and the struggles and the heartaches that you face stop you from running your race. So when you feel like giving up, when you feel like you're not going to make it, sometimes the only thing that will get you through is to say this: I know I'm going to see Jesus one day. And that will be our greatest reward. 1 Corinthians 9 says, to win the contest, you must deny yourself of many things that would keep you from doing your best. We do it for a heavenly reward that never disappears. So I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. A heavenly reward, personally rewarded by God. God doesn't reward us based on a balance scale. I'm glad of that. God rewards us instead based on something called His wonderful grace. The wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all our sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? The wonderful, matchless grace of Jesus. You and I deserve God's judgment, but He's given us His grace. Paul says that the kind of motivation in 1 Corinthians 9 helps us to run with purpose in every single step in life. It changed the way that he lived, and that kind of motivation helps you and me to focus not on our problems, but on God's purpose. And I would say that that's the key right there. Every day, when whatever it is that we may have to face, finances, relationship issues, whatever it may be, health issues, is that we have to look at God's purpose in all of this, not on the immediate circumstance. Hebrews 6:12 from the Message paraphrase says this. I love the way the Message, I think this is the best paraphrase that's ever been done. Don't drag your feet. Be like those who stay the course with committed faith and then get everything promised to them. One of the ways you can focus on God's reward in eternity is by focusing on God's promises for now. When God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, I will be with you always, that is exactly what He means. And the third thing that we need to think about today to help us finish the race is to resist all discouragement. Boy, I tell you, I think that that is the enemy's number one tool, is discouragement for people. I see it everywhere that I go. I see people discouraged. They're discouraged in every aspect of their lives, their job, their family, their marriage. In a crowd this size, I guarantee you, many of you in here today, you drug yourself here today. You say, I don't feel like going. I feel bad. I don't know why I'm going. I'm just going to go. Some of you are discouraged because of your health, your finances, your marriage, your children. Some of you are discouraged because you're not married. Well, just look around to the fellows around you that are discouraged because they are married. And that'll help you out a little bit. Now, you see, discouragement is a choice. It's not the situation you're in. You ought to be encouraged if you're not married, because God hasn't brought you the one that he wants you to have yet. And you ought to be encouraged if you are married, because you got what God's got for you. And as Jerry Clower said, God don't make no mistakes. That is not good grammar, but it is certain good theology. Some of you are discouraged because of job, children. I saw a bumper sticker not long ago. It says, insanity is hereditary. I got it from my children. Yeah, some of y'all still thinking about that. I don't know how that feels. Let me just say to you today, whatever it is that you're discouraged about, I really, my heart breaks for you. I'm truly, truly, honestly, really sorry that you're discouraged. But as your pastor, I need to remind you and be honest with you today and tell you this. If you're discouraged, listen to me. If you're discouraged today, it is because you choose to be discouraged. And until you get over yourself and quit having your pity party about being so discouraged and all so many things are against you and so many things have happened, until you get over that and start looking unto the goal, resist all discouragement and realize, let me ask, do you think Jesus was ever discouraged? You bet he was. Father, why have you forsaken me? At that moment, Jesus Christ became our sin. My God, why? At that moment, he became sin for you and me. The Bible says it this way, that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be called the righteousness of God. He took upon him our sin debt, and he paid the price. Discouragement is always a choice, just like any other attitude that you may have. It is a choice. And you can make a choice to not be discouraged. You don't need a pill to keep you from being discouraged. You don't need a shot of Jack in the Black to get you out of discouragement. In fact, that will... Do you know alcohol is a downer? At least take an upper. Now, I'm not recommending that. In fact, I can tell you, all that's going to do is cause you more problems. It'll take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and make you pay more than you ever thought you'd ever have to pay. There's nothing redeemable about alcohol or any of those other drugs out there that people say they take to help them through. But you know, there are a lot of folks who don't drink alcohol and they don't use drugs, but they let discouragement be their drug. And it so affects their lives that they can't seem to function. Discouragement is a choice. If you're feeling down, if you feel like quitting, if you feel like giving it up because you're choosing, then to think discouraging thoughts, you don't have to. The Bible says you don't have to do that. In fact, it says just the opposite. It says fight the discouragement, resist the discouragement, move against it. Discouragement is Satan's favorite tool. His second favorite tool is procrastination. I'm discouraged, but I'm not going to do that till tomorrow. D.L. Moody once said this, a great pastor said this, I've never known God to use a discouraged person. You see, because if you're discouraged, your eyes are not upon the Lord. Your eyes are upon yourself and upon all your problems. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Some of you are singing that song. Doesn't sound too good, does it? Then come out of it. Get your eyes focused on the race. Focused on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, I'm not playing down the problems and difficulties that you have. I'm going to tell you, it can knock the breath out of you. Remember, like when you were a kid on the playground, they're spinning around on the merry-go-round, all of a sudden you're slung off, and you hit the ground, and it knocks the breath out of you, and you're trying to breathe. You think you're going to die? Listen, I understand that some of you may feel like you're going to die today, but I want to tell you, death has been defeated. Jesus is Lord. He is still on his throne, and he will come to you, and he will be with you, and he will guide you with his eye. But if he's going to guide you with his eye, as the Bible says, you have to look at his eye to be guided. So look unto him. This verse here says, for after a while, Galatians 6:9, let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't get discouraged. After a while, what a phrase. Don't give up. Everything doesn't come immediately. You will not get instant gratification. God is not a vending machine where you plop in your little prayer and zing, zing, and here comes the answer. Keep on doing what is right. Do the right thing even when it seems like there's no good coming out of it, no results out of it. Nothing is changing. You keep on doing the right thing. One of the greatest tests of faith is how you handle the times of delay in your life and when you're waiting upon the Lord. How do you handle setbacks? What's going on? Anything worthwhile in life takes effort and energy. Nothing worthwhile is easy in life. Nothing. Anything worthwhile takes effort, energy, and endurance. You have got to continue on. Great people are just ordinary people with extraordinary amount of determination. I'm not real bright. Sometimes. But I've learned this. It's always too soon to quit. Many a time, the victory has been missed because someone quit the race. They fell to the side. They would not keep going. Do you know how an acorn becomes an oak tree? Let me tell you what an oak tree is. It's just a little nut that refused to give up its ground. It just won't give up. It just keeps hanging in there. When a sculptor is making a sculpture, he starts hitting the clay and putting it all together and banging on it. Or if he's doing it out of granite, banging on it. It's a block of something. But he sees the picture in his mind. You and I need to be able to see the end and to know that Christ is with us. You can count on this. You can believe this. God will test your faith in life and he will test your commitment. Always. Why? Two things. Because he wants you to learn first what's inside of you, and second, he wants you to learn who he is. As your pastor, I wanted you to understand this simple truth. Life is tough. There's no beating around the bush. Very, very often, it's tough. But let me tell you something. This ain't heaven. We've been saved. Heaven is eternity. you and I are living in that between time as citizens of heaven and citizens of earth. You and I must keep our eyes on the prize, on the goal. What is it? To be conformed to the image of Christ. Things are not perfect here on earth. They never will be. Life is tough. The Inman family this past week had to go through losing a loved one. But she's not lost. They know exactly where she is. Miss Helen Chandler, who's here with us today. This will probably be, where are you, Miss Helen? She's helping, right? This will probably be her last day with us. Because in a week or so, they're going to be moving. Dennis's health is really bad. They're going to be moving into an assisted living area there in Memphis. I don't know about you, but that's discouraging. I hate to lose Miss Helen. I mean, she's been our prayer coordinator. She sends out all kinds of stuff. She's been such a tremendous support here. But we love Miss Helen. We want God's best for her. Some of you are sitting out there today, and discouragement is overwhelming you. I want you to know something. Life is tough. Miss Helen didn't choose this life to have to be able to take care of Dennis, who's now in hospice care. That's the way life is. This is not heaven. Earth, we earthlings live in a sin-cursed world. And that curse is constantly fighting against everything that you and I hold near and dear. But you and I have something that the world cannot take away. Ajax can't scrub off and Clorox can't bleach out. And that's the joy of the Lord. Notice this verse in Psalm 94 says, Lord, when doubts fill my mind, when my heart is in turmoil, quiet me and give me renewed hope and chill. Notice first it says, quiet me. You know, sometimes why we can't hear the Lord is because we won't shut up. Have you ever been talking with your spouse? I'm not saying arguing with them, but talking with your spouse. And you're talking over each other. No wonder you can't hear what they're saying. I love that about watching these news programs, too. You know, these folks get on there and they just start, yeah. They're all talking at the same time. Somebody needs to stop and listen. Quiet me, Lord. You know, one of the best things that you could do, if you're struggling right now through something in your life, the best thing you could do is get somewhere and get quiet with the Lord and let Him speak. He is speaking, but He's not going to interrupt you. This verse teaches two things to do when you're filled with doubt and we want to give up. Quiet me. You know, the less silence you have in your life, the more stress you'll have. The second thing is, renew me. How are we renewed? First, remember God's goodness. Second, remember God's presence. Third, remember God's promise. You look at the world, let me tell you something. You'll be distressed. I tell you, I get so upset watching the news. Y'all talk to the TV. I just want to scream sometimes. You look at the world, you'll be distressed. You look within, you'll be depressed. Because there's nothing in you worth a nickel today. Except the fact that you are a child of God and Jesus Christ will redeem you if you will turn to Him. You cannot pull yourself up by your bootstraps. If you do, you'll end up on your head. Yeah, we ought to have great initiative. We ought to get up every morning with anticipation. But let me tell you something. The only thing that can get us through all that we have to face and the only thing that we can do in to battle against sin, stress, depression, and all of that is Jesus Christ and our relationship to Him. Remember God's presence with you always. Third, remember God's promise in the future. You look at the world, be distressed. Within, you'll be depressed. You look at Christ and you will be at rest. What do we need? We need a daily time with God to let Him be able to speak. I've had people say, well, I've tried that daily time with God stuff. I just can't do it. I forget to do it or something always coming up. But I always sit like this. Let me ask you something. Have you ever forgotten to eat? You know, you'd be working and you work right through lunch. Did you say after you worked right through lunch, you realize it's 3 o'clock, you hadn't eaten lunch yet? Oh, bless God. I tell you, I just can't do this eating thing. I'm so discouraged. I just can't do it anymore. I can't even remember to do it. No. What are you going to do if it's 3 o'clock when you realize it? What are you going to do at 3:01? You're going to eat. And you're probably going to eat more than you should. Where are some areas that you're struggling with that you need more persistence in, to finish the race? Praying with your kids, sharing your faith, honoring God with your finances, exercise and diet, controlling your anger, watching your words, managing your thought life, trusting God. All these areas are areas that need to be worked on in our lives. And so many times we get so distracted by all the hoopla that goes around. And then finally, we have to renew ourselves daily. You've got to learn daily physical renewal, and you've got to learn daily spiritual renewal. God wants His loved ones to get their proper rest. You know, the most spiritual thing you can do sometimes is just to sit down and take a nap. Listen to these words from the Living Bible paraphrase. It is stupid for you to get up so early and stay up so late, for God wants His loved ones to get their proper rest. It's from the Living Bible paraphrase. Vince Lombardi, great football coach, said this: fatigue makes cowards of all of us. I can understand that. You need spiritual renewal. This is why we never give up. Our spirits are being renewed every day. Hebrews 12 says, let us keep our eyes fixed. Not on television. Not on some game. But let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to whom our faith depends from beginning to end. And the truth is, it really doesn't matter how you start the race or how you mess up during the race. What matters is, are you going to finish the race? Warren Community Church, we're 15 years old in this building. We're actually 17 years old as a church. 18 years old as a church. Thank you. But 15 years in this building. I'll never forget a statement made to me the day we moved into this building. One of our members was coming in, and I know they meant well. And this is what this individual said. Well, Brother Ken, Warren Community Church has arrived. And I thought to myself, no, we're just getting started. We've got to finish the race. You know how we're going to finish? Is if everybody runs their race well. What's the race that God has put before us? To reach this community for Christ. And we've got to keep running that race. 2 Timothy said it this way: I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord our God will give to those who love His appearing. But not to me only, but to all of those who love His appearing. I want to close by reading this passage from the Message Bible, the paraphrase from Hebrews 12. It says, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on, it means we'd better get on with it. Strip down, Start running and never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sin. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who both began and finished this race that we're in. Study how he did it, because he never lost sight of where he was headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God. Jesus could put up with anything along the way. The cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. When you find yourself lagging in your faith, go over that story again, item by item, that long litany of hostility that Jesus plowed through. That'll shoot adrenaline into your souls. In this all-out match against sin, others have suffered far worse than you have, to say nothing of what Jesus went through. So don't feel sorry for yourselves. God is educating you. That is why you must never drop out. He is treating you as dear children. Some of you have been felt like giving up on your dream, your goal, your marriage, or ever getting married. What do you need to do to finish? Is there a commitment that you've made that you haven't, a project you started, a promise that you haven't kept, a vow or a pledge that you are wanting to give up on? You gave your word. You made a solemn vow. Don't let it end. What's holding you back? What has distracted you from God's best? Relationship, fear, worry, materialism, wrong values, sports, whatever you put in your own. Maybe you've gotten hurt or wounded in the race of life. I'm really, honestly, with all the compassion I know how to say, is I'm sorry that you have been hurt. But you need to get up. Focus on the finish. Dust yourself off and start moving toward Jesus. And he will direct you. It's too soon to quit. 15 years. If God gives us 15 more, I hope that we will be able to look back and say, wow, look at what God has done. We didn't quit. We were willing to stick with it and finish. So today I want to challenge you as we come to the close of our service to understand that God has a commitment for you to make. As believers, as members of Warren Community Church, we have a church covenant, a church membership covenant. I want to remind you of that covenant because it tells us, it shows us exactly who we are and what we're supposed to do. If you haven't been through class 101, you need to get in there and be a part of that. Start September 10th. Listen to what this covenant says. I want you to read it along with me. Having received Christ as my Lord and Savior and been baptized and being in agreement with Warren Community's statements, strategy, and structure, I now feel led by the Holy Spirit to unite me with the Warren Community Church family. In doing so, I commit myself to God and to the other members to do the following. I will protect the unity of my church. How? By acting in love toward other members, by refusing to gossip, by following its leaders. I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for its growth, by inviting the unchurched to attend, by warmly welcoming those who visit. I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve my pastors, to be served by my pastors, by developing a servant's heart. I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully, by living a godly life, and by giving regularly. That's what we have committed to. It's too soon to quit. Keep pressing on, pressing on, pressing on. A missionary was coming home from many years on the field, coming home discouraged, having all types of trouble, health reasons, family problems, financial issues, being forced off the field. He comes, he's right coming in on this ship from overseas. On the same ship is a very popular politician. As the politician gets off, man, the bands are playing, The people are parading around. They're rejoicing and welcoming that politician. And when the missionary started off the ship coming down the plank, all the crowds left, all the bands had quit playing, and there was no one to meet him there, not one single soul. He walked off, and there was not one individual there to meet him. And he said, "Lord, I've served you for so many years. I've sacrificed and given my life to the work there on the mission field. And now I come home to this." And the Holy Spirit spoke to the missionary's heart and said, "Missionary, you're not home yet." And I want to say to you today, you're not home yet. You're going to have disappointments, trials, troubles, and heartache. Don't quit. Say that with me. Don't quit. Don't quit. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's pray. As the end ones come to close us with our time, our invitational song, I want to encourage you today. Maybe you've been discouraged. It's time for you to do business with the Lord. And just simply say, "Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. My focus has not been on you. It's been on my problems. It's been on my difficulty. It's been on my heartache. But today, Lord, I know the heartache, the problems and troubles are not going to go away. And it's how I respond to them is the difference. So, Lord, I need you. I'm going to keep my eyes upon you, and you're going to get me through it. You'll see me to the end to finish the race." And not only that, that, Lord, through this race, your promise to never leave me nor forsake me, to be with me always, will be the joy that I need every day to face whatever it may be. To finish the race well as a church member as well here at Warren Church, to keep being involved, finding a place to serve, giving our lives away to so that others can live. Lord, this is your people, this is your church. We're celebrating a great day today, an anniversary. But Lord, we want to celebrate many more with greater victories that you are going to win. And we praise you for that. So bless your people today. Maybe there's someone here who's never trusted you as Lord and Savior today. Right now, their life is in such a mess. They're turmoil all inside. And today they need you. And if they just open their heart and say yes to you today, and receive you as their Lord and Savior today, that then, Lord, they would be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so today, Lord, this is your invitation, your people. May we just respond as you have convicted us to do. In Christ's name, amen.